Okay, let's take another poll. How many people in the back can actually see me? Because I'm like short and... All right, you got the lousy seats. Okay, let's one more poll. Am I, let's see, tall, dark, and handsome, or short and bald? Okay, don't answer that. I've got the task of giving you 8 hours of information in less than 58 minutes. So I'm going to hit the ground running. I'm going to go at a fast pace. So please continue to eat while I speak. How many of you are in sales? How many of you are not in sales? How many deal with people? You're in sales. Everybody's in sales. But here's the problem. When we think of a salesperson, in any television show, movie, how are they always portrayed? Help me out here. Sleazy, slick, conning, dishonest, pushy, good looking, plaid pants, striped sport jacket, right?
Jerk.
Anybody know why they're always portrayed this way? It's true. There are 14 million salespeople in the U.S. today. Studies show that 97% are below average. See, if you hit quota, if you set quotas for yourself, whether you own your own business or the company set them for you, and you hit quota, that means you became average. So I'm going to make you a promise this afternoon. I don't know about any of you, but I have no attention span. I could not listen to a speaker for 60 minutes, 15 minutes, maybe 10 is my limit, unless I get three things. Number one, the time to fly by. Excuse me for walking back and forth, but the polls, so I'm trying to give it fair for both these sides. So, but number one, you want the time to fly by. Number two, you want to laugh, you want to be entertained. You want to walk out, and this is the best compliment a speaker can get. Hey, that Becker guy wasn't so bad. So that's what we're looking for. And number three, to learn stuff that you forgot. See, first of all, let's get something out of the way. I am not a motivational speaker. I don't live in a van down by the river. My name is not Matt Foley. I speak, and if you don't get that one, ask somebody a little bit younger next to you, okay? I speak on sales and customer service. But here's the problem. As I said before, most salespeople are pretty bad. I'll give you an example. What's the second largest purchase most of you make in your entire life? Car. How many of you have bought a car or truck in the last 5 years? How many found it to be one of the most wonderful, pleasant experiences of your entire life? Lexus, Saturn. Okay. You walk in any dealership in the country, and here's what you find. I do this pretty good. Let me set up, please. Now, these are the people who have been selling less than a year, the new people. Okay, let's talk about the veterans now. These are the ones in the business 3 years or more who are now teaching the newer salespeople how to sell. These are the veterans, the experienced reps. This is the roof of the car or the truck. Please imagine. Can I help you? My name's Hal. I'll either be here in the back smoking a cigarette. If you need me, let me know. It's so hard. See, I want to ask you all in this room, see salespeople. Will you buy? Whether it's things for your company, whether it's your personal life. And I'm not going to go through because we have a lot of time, but it's hard for all of us to think of a great salesperson. I mean, if you take the last year, all of you had at least contact with 200 salespeople. Try to think of one that was genuine, down to earth. As they said in the movies, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, righteous dudes, sincere. It's hard to find one. But here's the problem. Every salesperson says they're great. Our tiny little company trains excess of 15,000 salespeople a year. I have never met in my entire life a salesperson say this. Hey, I'm a loser, Kepler, right here. Oh, I suck. The reason I've had 9 jobs in 6 months, it's me. Never heard a salesperson say this. They always say how great they are. But here's the three questions I want to ask all of you. I don't want you to raise your hands. I just want you to think about it. Whatever business, you're in the business of advertising specialties. Or it is, and then somebody says, Dan, not pens and pencils, writing instruments, you know, when you're talking about pencils, but you are selling creativity to businesses. Anybody can sell advertising specialties, but if the best people here do things differently. So the promise I'm going to make you, if you listen to me today, listen to me, and do things a little bit differently, or if you're already doing them, not to change, you will increase your sales. Because your profession is selling. your product that you sell or the advertising specialties. But here's the problem with our profession. Our profession has so many millions of people. It's the second highest paid profession in the world. Physicians number one, sales number two. Now do not raise your hands at this. I just want you to think about it. So these are just thinking questions. How many of you have read a book cover to cover on sales in the last 12 months? Now you don't have to raise your hands again. Well, if you're really proud, you make. I'm not pitching my books. You go to the library, they're free, okay? I'm talking about reading. If you don't like to read, this is fine. When's the last time you listened to a CD, a DVD-ROM, a CD-ROM, a cassette, an 8-track? I don't care. When's the last time with your own money, and I'm proud of you to be here today, besides today with your own money, took at least a half a day sales course to better yourself? See, whether I talk about my contemporaries, Tommy Hopkins, Jeff Gittem, or Brian Tracy, Barry Farber, we're all going to say the same thing. Most salespeople are lousy. And here's the problem. Not once today are you going to hear me say anything new. I don't have an original thought in my head. I'm an idiot. And the people that know me, my close friends, go, yeah, he's an idiot. In fact, if you're in a bookstore and you see my book and you see this other guy's book, I'm going to tell you to buy this other guy's book. It's better and it's cheaper. Good salesmanship, huh? It is the most widely published book in the history of publishing. The Bible's number one. This guy's book is number two. When he was interviewed in the 1940s, he admitted that he stole his stuff from Socrates and Jesus. Now, can you imagine being in a debate? Here's your podium. Here's Socrates. Here's Jesus. And it's your turn. Pass. What are you going to win against Jesus? I don't think so. The book is called How to Win Friends, Influence People by Dale Carnegie. See, the whole book comes out to two words. Find want. Find out what customers want. See, your customers either want to entice new customers or they want to brand their business, right? You're there to help them. You're the creative partner. You're the doctor of, I'll say AS, advertising specials, AS, which shorten it up. And you'll find out what I mean by that a little bit later. You're the physicians. Great salespeople do things differently. Now, the most important ingredients that make the best of the best are not trainable today. See, I call this afternoon sales deodorant. When you put on deodorant, what happens the next day? Wears off, you smell lousy again. This doesn't work. Hopefully, maybe today you go, oh, it was okay, but are you going to go back to your old habits of doing things? Absolutely, watch. If anybody's not eating, the ones that aren't eating, fold your arms. Take your arms, unfold them, fold them the opposite way. Some of you can't do this. Some of you stayed up really late last night. Now, take it and do it from scratch the opposite way. Kind of weird, kind of uncomfortable. Just not a habit. But if we sat here for 3 weeks, just pulling our arms the opposite way, 8-9 hours a day, it'll be a new habit. One more exercise. All of you do this. Put your hands in front of you and go like this. Okay, that's your Etch-A-Sketch. You got a clean slate. Whatever you heard up till today, I want you to put aside. All right? So here's the most important ingredients that cannot be trained. How do you train desire, dedication, focus, discipline, honesty? How do you train empathy? How do you train putting your customer first every single... See, when they're small, we call them customers. When they're big, we call them clients. How do you decide putting your customer first every single time where they know you're putting them first? How do you train enthusiasm? Imagine I came in today and I started off my speech like this. Hi. My name's Hal. And I'll be your speaker for like an hour. Oh yeah, I feel like crap. But anyway, let's get into it. You know what my job is to do today? Take a guess what my job is to do today during lunch. Help me out. What's that? Motivate? Good answer. Wrong. Okay. What else? Educate? No. Good answer though. Train? No. Entertain, keep you awake. No, nobody's even close. What's that? Get you thinking? Good answer. No.
Remind you?
No. Distract you from whatever it is? Maybe. But not even close.
Inspire.
What's that?
Inspire.
Great answers. Not even close. Here's my job today. to sell you on me. I'm back here a second time. I hope to come back a third and fourth time. My job is to sell you on me. Right? Isn't that your job to sell your customers? So I'm going to show you the greatest form of advertising you will ever sell for yourselves. It's called word of mouth. There's nothing better where you get back tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday, and all you do is get your voicemails and people are calling you saying, hey, I hear you're good. Somebody gave me your name. A company gave me your name. I want to talk to you. There's nothing better than that. And I'm going to show you how to do that today. Now, here's why salespeople fail. I got to spend a couple minutes on negatives and we'll get them out of the way. There's only three reasons why salespeople fail. Number one, you don't like what you're doing. You get up and you go, hey, you know, I hate this job. Now, here's the deal. If you hate what you're doing, I want you to stay here an extra couple days. Okay? When you get back to your hometown, I want you to tell this to your boss, because I'll be in another city. I'm not sure which one I'll be in. But I want you to tell your boss this. Hal told me to tell you, I quit. Why are you doing what you're doing if you don't like it? Have you ever met anybody that hates what they do and does a good job? Or conversely, they love what they do and they do a lousy job? Can you imagine going to the doctor and go, Doc, I got chest pains. Doctor goes, man, I really hate the left side of the body. I was so bored in school that day. Foot, I'm good. Number one, if you don't like what you're doing, give it up. Number two, you can have all the excuses you want. See, in this room, some of you did really well last year, some of you didn't. The ones that did really well, here's why. They just worked harder. You got to make more sales calls. I love when someone says, well, I want to double my sales next year, Hal. What do I have to do? Double your calls. There's no secrets here. So number two, you got to work, got to make more sales calls. Number three, you have to ask more questions. See, human nature allows us to want to talk. We want to go in someone's office. We want to tell them about our company. How long we've been doing this? What we've done for other clients? The greatest sale we ever made? We want to talk about ourselves. How I like doing this? Guess what? Customer doesn't care. They only care about one thing. What are you going to do for me? And the only way you're going to find that out is by asking them questions. Period. The less you talk, the more you sell. If you want to take a little pocket dictator and go on a sales call and tape the call, get in the car, press play, if you find yourself at any time doing more than 20% of the talking, you are not selling, you are telling. So first thing you must do when you get in someone's office, first thing you must do is say, hey, can you show me around? Give me a tour. Because if you go in someone's office, you're offensive, defensive. You go in the company, now you get to see everything. You get to see stuff. You get to see if maybe they spend a lot of money. Maybe they don't. Maybe you see some successory posters everywhere. Or despair.com posters, the opposite. If you haven't checked out that website, it's a fun one. But, you know, just check things out. Look around. Notice things. Look on their desk. Look on their credenza. Maybe they have some stuff that people gave them. I don't know. Get a tour. So anyway, everywhere I go, here's what I hear. Well, Hal, our industry, our business, our association, our company, we're a little bit different. Tell me if you fall in the same categories. If any of you fall in these areas. Number one, you're either for-profit or non-profit. I'm going to guess most of you in this room are for profit. Number two, your best customers spend the most amount of money with you. Your worst ones nickel and dime you to death. And the ones that had a problem, to whom you've overreacted to and blew them away with the best service, are some of your best customers. Sound kind of familiar? Yeah. Easy stuff. Easy stuff if you follow the basics. So, let's talk about selling. I gave all of you a card on your table. And why I gave you a card is because what you're going to do is you're going to forget everything today. But if you follow this card and three more words I'm going to give you later, this is all you need to know for sales. And I really mean this. This is all you need to know just to cover the basics. So let's go through the back of this card. Number one, top salespeople are incredibly organized. Who here has a daily planner? Who in this room does not have a daily planner? Who does not? One, two, three, four. Now, don't worry, there were 2003s. I'm trying a long time to get rid of these things, okay? Just kidding. Here's the deal. You gotta write everything down. You have to write everything. I don't know about you. The older I get, the dumber I get. Write everything down. Look, see, all selling is this. Customers you got, customers you don't got, right? The ones you don't got, what do? You get them. The ones you got, what do? No, I got to give you a Cleveland, Ohio term. You suck up. Let's all say that back. You suck up. Now, see, Natalie is my contact. She brought me in. Now, people say, what kind of planner should I have? A big 8.5 by 11 one, little breast pocket, electronic palm pilot, iPack. I don't care. Get the one you're going to use. How many of you, if you lost your planner, would sit in the middle of the room, cry, freak out, and go on Prozac? Raise your hands. Those are the only people that are using theirs. So here, Natalie was my contact. I'm not sure she's going to be busy for a while, so I'm going to call her. Is Natalie in the room or she left? Natalie, when can I call you to suck up? No, what day next week? That's a good day for you. Following week? What'd you say? Wednesday. Okay, Wednesday. Written down. If I didn't do that, what's going to happen? I'm going to forget. See, for the people in the room that are a little bit younger, when you're in your 20s, here's what's going to happen to you. When you hit 30, you're going to be taking Tums and Rolaids like the rest of us, trust me. And when you hit 40, here's what's going to happen to you. You're going to be in the kitchen feeling pretty good. And you walk in the family room. You get in the family room, you're going, what the hell am I doing over here? Now you go retrace your steps. Now you're back in the kitchen. All pissed off. When you're 50, here's a real good one for you. Trust me. You take your car keys, put them in your left hand. With your right hand, you call one of your best friends up. You make some dinner plans. Hang up the phone. Go look for your car keys. And a half hour killed right there. And then my wife, she's got her glasses on her head. You know, she's got this. And she comes up to me and goes, honey, have you seen my glasses? And of course, my honest answer to her is, no. I think I saw him in the green, which is the farthest point of our house, one room. She comes back about 10 minutes later, I hate you. Oh, look in the mirror, didn't you, honey? Little vain. Write everything down. Because, see, everybody says they're going to call you, they're going to do stuff. Everybody says, you know, oh, I'll call you, I'll take care of this. Nobody does what they say anymore. If you just say, let's say somebody asks you a question, you don't have the answer, but I'll call you by 4 o'clock today to see if we have it in stock, or whatever it is. And you don't have the answer. You still call them at 4 o'clock. Now you're a step ahead of your competition. Just keep your word. Write it down. So number one is being organized. Trust me, you must have some sort of planner. If you said, well, I've been getting along really good without it, don't care. I'm cutting to the chase. I'm getting down to the bottom line, basic stuff. Number two, you must be assertive or aggressive. Now, what I mean by that is not beating people up. I'm talking about numbers and sales. I'll teach you a mathematical term. It's called exponential. Take any number and do the same number every day, and you will be incredibly, wildly profitable. See, here's the deal. After 90 days or 120 days, following this method, you can't have a bad month. You can just have better and best. And some of you go, well, I'm brand new. Okay, you make all new business calls. Someone's been in the business for 15 years, you just make customer client calls. My job, I just stay in touch with my existing client base. I've never made a proactive call in my entire life. As long as I've been a speaker, I mean, when I was a kid, I did. And I just stay in touch with my clients, out of sight, out of mind. Who ever saw the movie with Bill Murray called What About Bob? What's this called? Baby steps. Well, that's your typical salesperson. Around the 26th of the month, here's what they're saying. I'm screwed. I am nowhere near my quota. I can't go near the office. I can't even go near that zip code. Top salespeople, 19th in a month, 30 working on next month's stuff. It's strictly numbers. Now, I've never met a salesperson in my entire life that says this. Hey, you don't know what I want to do today? I want to go out and make some sales calls. Yeah, I want to be rejected, dejected, treated like dirt, talked down, and told no. That's what I'm looking forward to. If any of you look forward to making new business calls, you are sick people that should go to the vet, spend $35, and have yourself put to sleep. But guess what? You got to do it if you want to be successful. Well, you got to stay in touch with your clients. I'm sure when you talk to people all day, you're on the phone all day, the last thing you want to do is make more calls. It's part of the deal. It's called work. Number three, honesty. Hey, everybody says they're honest. Who's ever seen the TV show Cops? You ever seen anybody go, "You got me, I did it"? Anybody got kids? Did you ever tell your kids there's a Santa Claus? You lied. Ever tell your kids there's a tooth fairy? Well, there is, but Easter Bunny? Lied again. We lie to our kids, we lie to our family. I mean, of course, I lie to my kid too about the same thing. But where do you stop at work? Most salespeople are not known to be, they usually stretch the truth or embellish. I'll have a simple thing for you. I'm too stupid to lie. See, if you lie, you got to remember what you said. If you tell the truth, it's pretty easy. Learn the word no to someone, to a customer. It's okay. I can't do this. Or if they want a certain price, I can't do that. It's okay to walk away and say no to the price. See, because when you lower the price to a customer, here's what they're saying to the whole time beforehand. Why don't you give me that before? It's like walking a car dealership. How much is that car? $20,000. That's more than I want to spend. You take five steps. Okay, if you buy it now, it's $19,500. Well, that's $100 a step. If I walk around the building, how much is puppy going to cost me? I'll never forget, we had a chamber of commerce, and I'm not going to tell you who, it wouldn't be fair, but we have a special price for chambers, or repeat customers. And they call up, and they say, we'd like to book you. I said, well, okay, here's our fee. Oh, that's more than we want to spend. We'll give you this amount. I said, well, let me ask you a question. Do you belong to any associations with other chambers? Oh, yeah. I said, so if you go to associations, and you found out that every other chamber paid less than you paid, would that bother you? Well, of course it would. I said, so it would bother them. I can't lower my fee. And if you give an explanation behind it, then your client is one of two things, yes or no. It's okay to walk away from business. And it's also okay, how many of you have got some of your customers, usually about 2%, that drive you nuts? They talk down to you. They're abusive. They treat you like dirt. They're always yelling at you. They're unprofitable. I got to jump. They just waste all your time. Who's got customers like that? Here's what I want you to do Monday. Go up to them and go, remember the little rascals? Remember this? High sign? Fire them. Get rid of them. You will be so happy. Because now you can spend your time with the other 98% of the people that leave you alone and let you do your job. But let's go through the two most important lines on this card. Oh, by the way, the honesty, all you have is reputation. Now, the people in this room that are a little bit younger are not going to understand this yet. Because when you're younger, you're hungry, you want to make money. When you get older, money's not always the priority because you kind of got yourself established. But don't look at the sale like this. Look down the road. Because let me tell you something, and some of you just aren't going to understand this yet. All you have is your reputation. Your whole life's going to come down to two things. On this hand's going to be your friends and family, and over here is going to be your reputation. Nobody remembers the good stuff. I mean, you're never driving down a freeway, and if there's no accidents on the other side, hey, let's just slow down for the heck of it.